You know, I appreciate the way Marge conducted herself up here. As I said, I've been trying to emphasize this is not a contest. It's a Bible study. And we're not at each other's throat. We have no personal animosity toward one another. We just disagree on what we consider to be an important Bible subject. She didn't get up here and try to treat me ugly or anything, but she just pointed out what she believes and why she believes it. And hope we can keep it on that plane. But I have to hasten to say or emphasize that the doctrinal difference we have, I believe, is very important. Because it's the difference in what the Bible says or what the Bible doesn't say. And what God expects us to do and what He doesn't expect us to do. So I implore you. Marge is a great speaker. She's very effective at persuading people. But I implore you, please accept whatever the Bible says, because that's God's word on this matter. Now, the Bible seems to me to be pretty clear on this subject tonight. After all, we are debating tonight, are women preachers biblical? Here's what the Bible has to say about it. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, suppose God wanted it to be wrong for women to be preachers. Suppose God had wanted it to be that way. Does He have the right to do that since He's God? If He had wanted it to be that way, how could He have made it more plain than this? When Marge gets back up here, I would like for her to tell us what God would have had to have said in the Bible to make it wrong for a woman to be a preacher. What would He have had to have said to make it any clearer than this? I'm suggesting to you He could not make it any clearer than this. Now, Marge wanted to emphasize one word here. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, your here is obviously the second person. The second person means the people who he's talking to. The Corinthian brethren, their women are to keep silence in the churches. That shouldn't be surprising that he says your women. After all, that's who he wrote the book to. So he's saying to the Corinthians, that congregation, your women, that is all the women there, they should keep silence in the churches. But now, Marge, I want to point out to you that at the end of this, in verse 35, he gives the reason why the Corinthian women, those who he's addressed, who he's writing to, why they should be silent in the church. It's a more general statement. He didn't say your women at the bottom. He says the reason they're to be silent in the church, he says, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Women in general. All women. You see, yeah, he is talking about your women, the Corinthian women, but the reason it's wrong for the Corinthian women is because it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, to help you understand that this applies to everyone, not just a few in one particular congregation or one congregation or just people at that time, but to every Christian at that time and every Christian now, let's look at a few other items that we see in the book. Let's examine the surrounding context of 1 Corinthians 14. First of all, I said a while ago the book was written to the Corinthians, but that's not exactly true. The book was actually written to all Christians. Then and now, it says, this is how the book was addressed. Like I write a letter to Lionel, for example, I'd say, Dear Lionel, here's how Paul addressed the letter. He says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. So he was addressing that church. Then he says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. That would get more than the Christians at Corinth. That would be all the Christians. He says, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus. So he's not just addressing the book to those at Corinth, but he's writing the book to all in every place that call upon the name of Jesus. That would have got all the Christians then, all the Christians now, all women then. Yes, your women and all women. All those who call upon the name of Jesus in every place. All women are to keep silent in the church. Now, this instruction is inspired of God. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2? He says, But God hath revealed then unto us by His Spirit, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Mark mentioned about if the Holy Ghost calls a woman, gives her the gift of preaching, then she would be opposing the Holy Spirit if she didn't accept the call and be a woman preacher. But how could the Holy Spirit call a woman to preach when this is what the Holy Spirit wrote? Paul said, The things I'm writing to you are not just my words. These are words that come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that says women are to keep silence in the church. That it's a shame for women to speak in the church. So why would the Holy Spirit write that and then come around and tell a certain particular woman that she is to preach when the Bible, what he wrote, what we know he wrote, obviously says no. Now continue on. This instruction applied to all congregations. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, Paul said, "Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." See, Paul didn't just teach one thing at the Church of Corinth and then something else somewhere else. He taught the same thing, the gospel, in all the churches. That's what he's saying here, including this prohibition against women preachers. And then he said, you'll notice it. He said, "Let your women keep silence in the churches." You see, that is not just the one church. It's not just the church at Corinth. It was churches plural. So it's all the churches. You see that point? And then, as I said, the reason the Corinthian women were to keep silence in the church assembly is because it's a shame for women in general, to speak in church. That's just a general prohibition. And then, if everybody's looking at 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, you know that it's just two or three verses later, in verse 37, Paul said, "The things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So this commandment right here is one of the commandments Paul's talking about in verse 37. And he says, this is the commandment of the Lord. Barnes, with all due respect, the Lord, this was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord commands this, that the women are to keep silent in the churches. They're not to speak. Then Barnes brought up some cases where women prophesied, for example. Anna, she brought up Joel 2, and that's quoted in Acts 2, where women did prophesy. We have no problem with that. I hope we understand the issue here. When I say I'm against women preachers, perhaps that's said the wrong way. Because when you define preaching the way the Bible defines preaching, it just means teaching the gospel. And I'm not opposed to women teaching the gospel, as long as they do it under the auspices that the Bible shows is correct. A woman is not to speak in the church. We've shown that for 1 Corinthians 14. We'll see in a moment, 1 Timothy 2, they're not to teach nor usurp authority over the woman. But suppose, for example, you have a Bible class at church. Maybe a ladies' Bible class Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. And it's just for ladies. And a lady then can teach that class because she's not speaking in the church. We're not talking about the church building. We're talking about when the whole church all comes together in one place, 1 Corinthians 14, 23. She's not teaching over men. She doesn't violate 1 Timothy 2. Therefore, she can teach the gospel. She's obviously going to teach her children at home the gospel. We're not opposed to women teaching the gospel and preaching in that sense. When we say we're against women preachers, we're saying we're opposing what that term means in the common vernacular. What we mean by that today? Women publicly preaching from the pulpit. No, they're not to speak in the churches. So we see that in Acts 8, 1 through 4, the whole church, including the women, whenever we're preaching the word, we're for that. We think women should go out and teach the gospel. But not in the church, and not we're in the position of leading a class over men. In Acts 2, verse 17, your daughters shall prophesy, preach through inspiration. We're all for that. The Bible shows that's right. Philip had four virgin daughters which did prophesy. Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. Titus 2, 3 through 4, the aged women are to teach the gospel to young women. Other passages, we're not opposed to that. We're all for that. So that's not the issue. Anna being a prophetess, that's not the issue. In Acts 2, where it says their young women shall prophesy, that's not the issue. And Philip having four virgin daughters that prophesied, that's not the issue. The issue is, can they do it in the church, that is when the whole church comes together in one place, can they do it when there are men in the audience that they're teaching over? That's what we're opposed. Because it's not because we don't like it. If I were setting this thing up, Marge, I would have let the women preach if it were up to me to set it up. The reason we're opposed to it is because the Bible makes it clear that it's prohibited by God's Word. That's the reason we're opposed to it. It's not left up to us. If you claim to follow the Bible, and if you call yourself a church here, and you do, then you, by the very nature that you call yourself a church, you're saying, we're going to try to follow God's Word. If you're going to follow God's Word, it says the women are not to teach. So women prophesied and taught the Bible, that's not the issue. We have no opposition to that. None of these verses, though, say that women prophesied or taught in the church assembly. It never says that Philip's four virgin daughters prophesied in the church assembly. Never says that about Anna. Never says that about the ladies in Acts chapter 2. As I've already pointed out, I don't oppose women teaching the gospel as long as they do it outside of the church assembly and as long as they don't teach over a man. I'm affirming that it's wrong for a woman to preach in the church. That is when the whole church be come together in one place. Now, at this point in her speech, Marge mentioned Miriam. So let everybody turn to Numbers chapter 12. I'm surprised that Marge brought this up, Because whatever Miriam did here, whatever speaking she did, she was condemned by God for this. Now, Numbers 12:1 says that Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. And I won't read all the context here, but Aaron and Miriam spoke up against Moses because of who he had married. And they spoke up. But the conclusion of the matter is, in verse 10 of Numbers 12, the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. What Miriam did here, she was struck with leprosy by God. So I don't think that should be something that we would look at as showing a proved example for us. Because what she did, I actually don't think that she was looked disfavorably upon by God because she was a woman necessarily. Perhaps that added to it. The fact is that Aaron, what he did was wrong too. They were speaking out against God's appointed leader, and God looked disfavorably upon that. Whether she was a woman or not really didn't change the fact. But how could you use this verse to prove that a woman has the right to speak up? When this woman spoke up, God struck her with leprosy because she did it. I don't see how you would want to use that as proof of your position. Now, I want to now talk about Deborah. I'm glad that Marge brought this up. Let's talk about Deborah. Marge claims that a woman judge, Deborah, in the Old Testament, proves women today can preach in the assembly. Is that what you're saying, Marge? First, Old Testament examples do not provide New Testament authority. I think we all realize this. If we can go to the Old Testament to see what we should do today, then the things that we find out would be things like we should offer animal sacrifices today, or we should have the men, the young boys should have to be circumcised on the eighth day. I think we all realize that passages like Galatians 5:4, that if you try to be justified by the old law, you are fallen from grace, shows we're not under the Old Testament anymore. So if we're going to find authority for women preachers today, I'm using that term with the common vernacular, I mean preaching publicly, I'm not talking about private teaching of the Bible. Preaching publicly, if we're going to say that women preachers are allowed today, we're going to have to find New Testament authority, not Old Testament authority. As soon as you go back to the Old Testament, then you open it up to bringing in animal sacrifices, circumcision, the Sabbath, and the whole ball of wax. Now, let's go to some facts about Deborah. First, Deborah did not lead in war. Barak did that. She only went with Barak. That's in Judges 4. You'll see that, and there's the reference there. Write that down and check it out for yourself. No verse says Deborah was head over Israel, meaning by that boss. No verse says she spoke to the Old Testament assembly. A judge and a boss are two different things. Her job as a prophetess, verse 4, was as a messenger to relay God's instructions to Barak, verse 6, and others. She simply told Barak was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. That's true. And God used this prophetess, Deborah, to tell Barak what he ought to be doing. All she did was relay a message from God. That didn't put her in a place of authority over Barak. That just shows that she was put in as a messenger between the two.
7 minutes.
So we have no authority here for women preachers, Old or New Testament. Then let's look at Phoebe being called a deaconess or a servant. There are a number of definitions you could look at for this word that's translated servant in the King James or deaconess in other translations. It's Strong's 1249. But I want you, let's don't take a definition for this word that would contradict 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 that says a woman's not to speak in the church. Look at these definitions for this word. You know, the basic word here means servant. Notice the definitions. From Strong's, he's defining the Greek word, not the English word. It says to run on errands, an attendant, a waiter at table and other menial duties. A servant, according to Mr. Thayer, servant or attendant. Wyndham Green, a waiter or a servant. Yes, some of these definitions have the word minister, but that word minister has changed through the years. Now we see the word minister and we think the preacher or the pastor. Now, minister in the Bible just meant servant, somebody who ministered to another. It wasn't talking about the preacher back then. Let's see some examples of this word's use. For example, Matthew 22, verse 13, the same Greek word, the Bible says, "Then said the king to the servants." That's deaconess. To the servants. Were they paid preachers or pastors? No, they were servants. It had nothing to do with being a preacher or a pastor. That's deaconess. In John 2, 9, it says, "But the servants which drew the water." Well, is that talking about preachers or pastors? No. That's talking about servants, isn't it? Same Greek word, deaconess. You know what servant means in Romans 16, verse 1, where it's talking about Phoebe? It means servant. That's why it's translated that way. And every Christian should be a servant. Every Christian should be a deacon or a deaconess in that sense. Now, when we come to the official office of deacon, the qualifications set forth in 1 Timothy 3 say he must be the husband of one wife. And I find it hard to believe that a woman could be a husband. Now, I've mentioned 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, and so has Mark. But let's look at that passage. Again, I say to you, if I set this thing up, if I had set up this religious way of doing things, or Christianity, I think I would have said, let the women preach. I had no problem with it. But I didn't set this up. I didn't write this. But if you claim to be a church, then this is supposed to be your guide. And what does the guide say? What does the manual say? It says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not. That just means I allow not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. But to be in silence. What is the command? Not to teach over the man. Does it apply to the woman? When does this command apply? Anytime. And that would include the church assembly. So 1 Timothy 2 condemns a woman teaching over a man. This would include leading a Bible class that has men in it, whether you're in the church assembly or not. Or preaching to the church assembly. And that's what we're looking at especially this evening. Now, Marge teaches that women may preach to the church, which includes men, but this verse forbids it. And I don't think it's very vague either. I think it's pretty clear. Now, what we're going to have to decide is how much do we love God? If we really love God, then we're going to do what He says. Now, you know, I'm not really showing any love toward God when I do the things that He said, when I would do that anyway, when I would agree with that. For example, I have really no temptation to drink. I guess my dad never drank. It's really in my head. Don't drink alcohol. So I've never even been tempted. So I wouldn't do that even if I didn't even know about God. I wouldn't be drinking alcohol. No temptation. So I really don't show my love for God by not drinking. But there are other sins that I may be more tempted by. Or things that I don't agree with. Like if we're up to me, we would allow women preachers. But the only time I actually show that I love God is when I do what God says when I don't agree with it. Or when I don't want to do it that way. So we can't let what we want decide what we're going to do in religion. Because that's not loving God at all. What we have to do is, to show our love for God, is to do what God said, even if we don't agree with it. That's when we really show our love for God. And this is what God clearly said. There shouldn't be no doubt about that. I don't know how much time do I have left.
2 minutes.
Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, how can we get any clearer than this? And again, I challenge Mars to tell us what God would have had to have written for her to understand that it's wrong for women to be preachers. How would he have worded it, Marge, if this is not the proper wording? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That seems to me to be very, very clear. Not vague at all. It's just a matter of whether or not we love God enough to accept it. One last chart before I have to sit down. This chart is entitled, It is Not a Shame for Women to Speak in the Church. All of Marge's arguments tonight were made in an effort to prove that it is not a shame for women to speak in the church when the Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians 14, it is a shame for women to speak in the church. The Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches where it is not permitted unto them to speak. But Marge says, don't let your women keep silence in the churches for it is permitted unto them to speak. You see how she's arguing for the exact opposite of what the Bible clearly said. Now, I believe Marge will admit her arguments are made to support this conclusion. But we'll let her tell us by checking the appropriate box. We can just do this mentally. You can point to it if you wanted to, Marge. Marge is trying to prove it is a shame for women to speak in the church, which is what 1 Corinthians 14 said, verse 35. Or Marge is trying to prove it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, which of the above do you think, after hearing Marge's speech, which of the above do you think she's going to choose? Well, I think she's going to choose, it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, which of the above do you think I would choose, based upon my speech? I think it's easy to say I would choose, it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church, because that's word for word what the Bible says. The real question tonight is, because it doesn't really make any difference what I believe or what Marge believes, the real question is, which of the above do you think God would choose? If God, Jesus, were here tonight, after seeing what he says in 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Do you think he would choose it is a shame for women to speak in the church? Or do you think he would choose it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? I think the answer is pretty obvious myself. Thank you very much.